Welcome to Soccer, a perspective from parents, where we'll be discussing what the coaches and refs really wish you, the parent, knew about the beautiful game. The goal of this podcast is to bridge knowledge gap between the parents, that's you, and the coaches and refs. I will attempt to explain the game and rules in a way that you can understand. That way, when you're out there watching Timmy, you can just enjoy the game. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about offsides, which is generally the rule that I see the most misunderstood or not called right by parents. This is going to be a long one today. This rule is very easy to understand, but very complicated in practice. The reason for this is the rule is generally interpreted differently depending on who you ask, which causes a lot of issues. Me and my dad have never agreed on the offsides rule. The rule is interpreted differently depending on who you ask, which causes issues. Me and my dad had some issues talking about some of the new rule changes that we couldn't seem to agree on. Also, the rules change quite a few times to differ slightly, which also causes problems because people aren't keeping up on the rules. In doing research for this, it has changed 4 times between the time that I've stopped reffing and the making of this podcast. Just to give you a preface of how this is going to go, I'm going to give you my thoughts on offsides and some things to know. I'm going to real quick go over the history of the rule. Then I'm going to actually read the actual wording of the law from the laws of the game. And then from there, once I get done with that, I'm going to break that down and try and attempt to break it down as easily as I can. And then I'll give you some things at the end that I'll add that I think are important. All right, so my thoughts on offsides. It's a very difficult call for the linesman to make, probably the toughest and most important that they're going to make. There's a reason why the linesman's main job is just calling offsides. They also have to help with calling the ball out of bounds, but their main job is keeping up with offsides. There's a whole lot to keep up with this offsides call. First, you have to make sure you stay in line with the second to last defender or player for the defensive team, the ball, or the halfway line, depending on which is closest to the goal. So you have to constantly be watching that. You must determine when the ball is kicked in relation to where the player is on an offsides call, which is really hard to do. That's very hard to do because oftentimes you're looking down the line and you can't see when that ball is kicked, or you have to kind of use your peripheral vision to see when that ball is kicked, which gets very difficult. Then you have to determine if the player in offsides position is making an attempt to play the ball according to the law of the game. Then you have other things that'll add to it. So sometimes you'll have a player close who will appear bigger to you and a player down on the other side of the field who will appear small, which that can be really hard to judge, or that close player can be blocking your view across the rest of the field. Then also, the angle that you're looking at the line, even though you're supposed to be right on the line, sometimes you end up on an angle by accident, and that angle can change and distort how things look from the way on an offsides call. Then to add to the difficulty of making this call, everything happens so quickly on the field, and we're usually talking about inches of difference between players that sometimes, especially at the pro level, that they have to make calls that can be at the length of 80 yards from one end of the pitch to the other end of the pitch. And going back to the short time, like, everything happens in seconds in the game. So you can have two players running, you know, different directions. And when that offsides, you know, by the time that ball is played, they can be 10 yards apart if they're running in opposite directions. So I want you to picture this real quick. You're on the line and the second last defender who you need to keep up with is running upfield because the play has gone the other way. So you and him are full sprint up the field and you're watching down the offsides line. Ball turns and it's kicked back. He doesn't react fast enough, but you have a forward running at him. And they cross at the same time that the ball is kicked. So you and that defender full sprint down to the half field line. Forward is coming at you. Ball is kicked when they're crossing. That's a call that you have to make in a split second while you're running, which it could be almost impossible for a player, almost impossible for a human to make. And some things that can make it very hard to call is fields often have a rise in the middle of the field to help with water running off the side of the field, to help water run off to the sides of the field, not puddle up in the middle. And these rises can vary from field to field. I've seen some where you can be on one end of the field and look to the other end of the field, and you can't see the player's knees. Especially that was our high school field. Our high school field, if you were standing on one side, you could look across the other, and you couldn't see your teammate's knees, which it led to a lot of good things for us, a big home field advantage, because you could use that to kind of curve the ball and stuff like that, which helped a lot. Here I'm going to tell you my general rule when it comes to offsides, how I generally judge it, and I'll remind you at the end also. My general rule for offsides, if the player is in the offsides position and makes a move to the ball in any way, he's generally offsides if he was in offsides position when the ball was played. If the player just stands still or walks away from the play, he's not offsides. You'll learn in the rules that there's times that offsides doesn't apply. I'll just tell them you real quick. When a player is on their side of the field, a goal kick, corner kick, or a throw-in, offsides doesn't count on those, so that my general rule doesn't apply. It's just not going to be on offsides. The main reason offsides exist as a rule is to keep players from standing at the top of the field and just waiting for their team to kick it up to them. This is often referred to as goal hanging, and was a problem real early in the sport that they wanted to get rid of. So the history of the law. There's always been some form of the law in varying degrees of severity since the early inception of the sport, when rugby and soccer were the same sport. Back then it was often referred to as sneaking. It became a rule when the official rules were written with the first football association in 1863. The early adoption was very strict, not allowing any player in front of the ball. So nobody could be in front of the ball. Like, you had to stay behind the soccer ball the entire time. If you did get in front of the ball, you could not advance or play the ball until an opponent kicked it or someone on your team was in front of you and kicked the ball. There was an exception made for goal kicks, because if you applied that rule, then everybody would be offside. So there was no offsides for goal kicks. The first major revision happened in 1866 with a three-player rule. It's very similar to today's two-player rule. It's just one extra person. You always had to have three players between you and the goal. In 1907, they got rid of you being able to be offsides on your own half of the field. And this was brought about because teams started playing really high, basically playing one defender, so they could try and get offsides calls on the other team's defending end. In 1925, the two-player rule was accepted. This was considered one of the most significant changes in the 20th century to the sport. It was proposed as early as 1893 to replace the three-player rule. They tested it in a match in 1925. In the first half, the rule was you could not be offsides unless you were within 40 yards of the opponent's goal line. In the second half, they used the two-player rule that we have currently. In the next FA meeting, the two-player rule went out. Proponents of the rule were saying that it could reduce stoppages, avoid reffing errors, and improve the spectacle of the sport, the goal scoring, and the why everybody comes to watch the game. The opponents said it gave an unfair advantage to the attackers. Refs were overwhelmingly opposed to the changes, but refs don't like changes anyways because it's new stuff they have to learn. So generally, if you have a new rule, the refs are going to be opposed to it. In 1990, it was changed so that the attacker that was level with the second defender was considered onside. Previously, if you were level with the second defender, you were offsides. But they changed that to now be onside. They did this to encourage attackers to attack more and give the advantage over the defender. That way, they were trying to get a little more attacking going on. In 2005, they differentiated the different parts of the body, basically saying they added the hands, feet, and body clause, basically saying your arms could be in front of the person, but your hands, feet, and body had to be in line. If any one of those was over or past the offsides line, or the second defender, then you were offsides, but your arms and hands didn't matter. they're saying this because there's no advantage to your arms or hands being in front. In 2009, they added the clause about defender stepping out of bounds and where he will be considered for offsides calls. In 2016, they clarified that a player being on the halfway line cannot be offsides, that a part of the listed things, the head, body, or feet, has to be in the opponent's half. Also, they clarified the parts of the body change in 2009 must apply to both the attackers and the defenders. Just so you know, this is Law 11 in the laws of the game. And from here is the actual wording of the laws of the game. So number one is offsides position. It is not an offense to be in an offside position. Player is in an offside position if any part of the head, body, or feet is in the opponent's half, excluding the halfway line, and any part of the head, body, or feet is nearer to the opponent's goal line than both the ball and the second last defender. The hands and feet of all players, including the goalkeeper, are not considered. For the purpose of determining offsides, the upper boundary of the arm is in line with the bottom of the armpit. Player is not in an offside position if level with second last opponent or last two opponents. 2. Offside offense. A player is in an offsides position at the moment the ball is played or touched. Parentheses. The first point of contact of the play or touch of the ball should be used. Close parentheses. By a teammate is only penalized on becoming involved in active play by interfering with play by playing or touching a ball passed or touched by a teammate, or interfering with an opponent by preventing an opponent from playing or being able to play the ball by clearly obstructing the opponent's line of vision, or challenging an opponent for the ball, or clearly attempting to play a ball which is close when this action impacts on an opponent, or making an obvious action which clearly impacts on the ability of an opponent to play the ball, or gaining an advantage by playing the ball or interfering with an opponent when it has rebounded or been deflected off the goalpost, crossbar, match official, or an opponent, been deliberately saved by an opponent. A player in an offsides position receiving the ball from opponent who deliberately plays the ball, including by deliberate handball, is not considered to have an advantage unless it was a deliberate save by an opponent. A save is when a player stops or attempts to stop a ball which is going into or very close to the goal with any part of the body except the hands and arms, unless the goalkeeper within the penalty area. In situations where a player moving from or standing in an offsides position is in the way of an opponent and interferes with the movement of the opponent towards the ball, this is an offsides offense if it impacts on the ability of the opponent to play or challenge for the ball. If the player moves into the way of an opponent and impedes the opponent's progress, example, blocks the opponent, the offense should be penalized under Law 12. A player in an offsides position is moving towards the ball with the intention of playing the ball and is fouled before playing or attempting to play the ball, or challenging an opponent for the ball, the foul is penalized as it has occurred before the offsides offense. An offense is committed against a player in an offsides position who is already playing or attempting to play the ball, or challenging an opponent for the ball. The offsides offense is penalized as it has occurred before the foul. 4. No offense. There is no offside offense if a player receives the ball directly from a goal kick, throw in, or corner kick. 5. Offenses and sanctions. If an offside offense occurs, the referee awards an indirect free kick, including if it is in the player's own half of the field of play. A defending player who leaves the field of play without the referee's permission shall be considered to be on the goal line or touchline for the purposes of offsides until the next stoppage in play, or until the defending team has played the ball towards the halfway line and it is outside its penalty area. If the player left the field of play deliberately, the player must be cautioned when the ball is next out of play. An attacking player may step or stay off the field of play not to be involved in active play. If the player re-enters from the goal line and becomes involved in play before the next stoppage in play, or the defending team has played the ball towards the halfway line and it is outside its penalty area, The player shall be considered to be positioned on the goal line for the purposes of offsides. A player who deliberately leaves the field of play and re-enters without the referee's permission and is not penalized for offsides and gains an advantage must be cautioned. If an attacking player remains stationary between the goalpost and inside the goal as the ball enters the goal, a goal must be awarded unless the player commits an offside offense or a Law 12 offense, in which case play is restarted with an indirect free kick. Okay, let's break this down a little bit. So for number one, offsides position. You can stand in an offsides position all you want to and not be called for the offsides offense. You're in offsides position if you do not have at least the ball or two players from the other team between you and the goal line or the end of the offensive side of the field. This is usually going to be the goalie and a defender, but it doesn't have to be them. It could theoretically be their two forwards. This includes any portion of your body other than your arms. And basically the way they define arms is you start at where your armpit is, draw a line across to your arm, and go down to your fingertips. They don't consider your shoulders part of your arms, so therefore a shoulder ball is not considered a handball. Okay, so number two, the offsides offense. This is where things get a little tricky. A couple of things must be considered for offsides. The first thing to be considered is where the player was when the ball was played or touched. And by played or touched, that means kicked, headed, kneed, whatever, by their teammate. It's were they in an offsides position when the ball was played or touched, not did they receive the ball in an offsides position. Once again, being in the offsides position when the ball was played or touched doesn't make them offsides. You need to come down from here, and the stuff from here will cause the actual offense. Let's go with the first one. Let's say check mark. They were in an offsides position. Did they play the ball in any way? Offsides. Did they interfere with the opposing team in any way? Then that'll make them offsides. And by interfere, did they keep them from playing the ball or being able to play the ball in a way that includes things like obstructing their vision? Did they challenge for the ball? It's basically, did they do any action that impacted the opponent's ability to play the ball? If they did, offsides call. Did they gain an advantage playing the ball or interfering with an opponent after it deflected off of something or after the opponent made a save? If they were in offsides position after someone took a shot and it deflected off the goalpost and then they were there to score a goal, it is then considered an offsides offense. The same could be said if the goalie made a save. If the player that is in an offsides position is intercepting a deliberate ball from the other team, so think a pass, a clearance, even deliberate handball, it's not considered an offsides offense because it is not considered gaining an advantage and the ball is not being played by a teammate. The only thing that can set it off and make this not happen is a deliberate save by the keeper. A save is what it sounds like. Stopping a goal by legal means. If it's an illegal way of stopping, like an illegal handball, then offsides won't matter because you'll be dealing with the handball in a different way. Then they bring up certain situations. The player has to impede on the defender's ability to play the ball. If they don't have the ability to play the ball, then offsides won't be called. If they step in the way or keep the player from making progress away from the offsides, away from the play that's going on, then you'll deal with it like Law 12 calls for. It's under the section called impeding the progress of an opponent without contact. I'll probably go over that one later on because it's one of the ones I see the least called, and I hate it, and I wish referees would call it more. The last two are just making a differentiation of when you should make an offsides call versus a foul call. And basically what they're both saying is if the foul happened before the offsides offense, you call the foul. If the foul happened after the offsides offense, you call the offsides. Refs may still have to assess cards to players due to the actual severity of the foul that happened after the offsides offense. So like you'll call the offsides offense, but the player ran up and made a really bad call or a really bad tackle after the offsides offense call. You may still have to give that player that made the bad tackle a yellow or red card. So referees will still have to assess cards for players, but despite that, you'll go with the offsides call first. Number three, no offense. It's simple. It is not much to it. It's exactly as it sounds. No offsides can be, you can't have offsides on goal kicks, throw ins, or corner kicks. So offenses and sanctions. If the offense is warded, it's an indirect free kick from the spot that the player was ruled to be offside. Next two get tricky, and they're worded weird, and this is where me and my dad had a debate on them all, because it's just, I don't entirely understand these two. I understand the defender one, but I don't understand the attacker one. So if a defender steps off the field without the ref's permission, the goal line is where he is considered to be until a stoppage happens or the run of the play has headed back upfield. This is basically trying to keep defenders from stepping off the field to get an offsides call on a player. The player that steps off without permission will be given a yellow card for doing so according to the rules of the game. You can't just leave the field without permission from the center referee. Now, this is one is I didn't really understand. Me and my dad discussed it. I talked to a ref. When I have a interview with a ref, I'm probably going to go over this with a lot of referees to try to get a better understanding. An attacker may step off the field to avoid being considered in active play. If he re-enters, he will be considered at the goal line for the purposes of offsides no matter where he enters. And if he re-enters without permission and he is not called offsides, he will be given a yellow card. Because once again, you can't just step off the field and then step back on the field without permission. You can't just leave the field and then re-enter the field without permission of the referee. That doesn't really apply when you're just kind of running back on for in the run of the play. But you can't just step off and then step back on. Like I said, this one's a little unclear to me. I'm not sure I interpret this right. I'm going to have to talk to some ref buddies of mine and some other people to try and get a better understanding. First time I have an interview with a ref, I'm definitely going to bring this up. The last one where they were talking about a player being in the goal, basically you can just stand in the goal. If you don't interfere with the play and a goal is scored, then the goal is going to stand. However, if they do any of the things that's listed in the offsides offenses section, then they'll get called for offsides. Now, if they commit another foul, like they tackle the referee, like they tackle the goalie, then you're going to deal with that as they would call for in Law 12. You know, that guy's probably going to get a red card and sent off the field. All right, some things for me to add. You can't dribble into an offsides call because you're behind the ball. Now, I need to kind of discuss some things with a referee, because I do have a question. Is if you're dragging the ball with you and you're offsides and you're dragging it, I think you'd be called for offsides, but I'm not 100% sure there. I need to discuss that and talk with a referee about that. But majority of the times you're behind the ball when you're dribbling towards the attacking side, so you can't dribble yourself into an offsides call. Once one of your players kicks the ball and sends it up, you can run in and receive the ball as long as you started in an onsides position. This is where I see most people mess up this offsides call, is if you start in an onside position and run to an offsides position and receive the ball in an offsides position, you're not offsides. You're onsides because when the ball was kicked, you were onsides. Doesn't matter where it doesn't matter where you receive the ball. It matters where you are when the ball is kicked. And basically, real quick, what people mean by an onside position is just the term for when you're not in the offside position. So you are behind the ball or behind two players or standing on the half field. Basically, that checklist that we had above for offside, you're in none of those positions. Then you're considered an onside position. Next part's to help you understand what the linesman is doing. So when a linesman calls the offsides, he's going to stand in one place and raise his flag straight up. The center referee can then make decision to either call the offside or not. He has the power to override that linesman, but 99% of the time, they're not going to do that. I've only seen a couple of situations where they wave down the where they wave down the linesman, and you'll see the referee wave his hand down, telling him to put it down. It's either one, because the center ref had a better angle, or he's playing advantage somehow. If the center does end up making the call from there, what ends up happening is he makes the call, blows the whistle, and he'll put his hand up to signal that it's an indirect free kick. And what the linesman will do is he'll give one of three signals. Either he'll have his flag up at a 45 degree angle, which signifies that it's going to be on the ball needs to be on the opposite end of the field from him. He'll have it level, which means it needs to be kind of in the center of the field, or he'll have it at a 45 degree angle down, which means it needs to be on the same side of the field as the linesman. One of the things that came out of this offsides rule, and especially once they got the two player change, is the offsides trap, which is when the defenses will try and catch attackers in an offsides position. We'll probably talk about it more in a later podcast, but it's a very, very effective when run properly, but it requires a high level coordination amongst the defense. Very often run at the highest levels. Generally, actually, it's run at high school and up. It's very effective against teams that have forwards that like to sit real high and are also very aggressive and very fast. It's one way to shut them down. The big problem, though, especially at the high school level, is if you don't run it right, you get beat. That man's going to have a one-on-one. So you have to be very aware, and defenses have to not give up on the play either. The things that I want you to take away from this is offsides is a very tough call, even for experienced refs to make, let alone the young refs at youth tournaments. Cut them some slack. Don't chew their butts. It's very hard, even for experienced referees. Also, it's very hard to get it right when you're standing on that line looking down. You're online with that second player and you're looking down that line. It's very hard to get right. So it's almost impossible for somebody that's sitting in a chair at a weird angle, even just feet away, to get that call right. So don't yell about them. Just let it go. You're probably wrong. That guy standing on the line, he's probably right. So somebody sitting 10 yards down the line looking at it at a weird angle is definitely not going to get it right. Just let it go. You're probably wrong. The general rule to apply while watching on the sidelines for offsides is if a player stands still or walks away from the play, not offsides, even if he's in an offsides position. If he is in an offsides position and he makes a move to play the ball in any way, then he's probably offsides. So that's it for offsides. Couple things to note. As always, I have a webpage up and running. Go visit it, soccer.aperspectiveforparents.com. There should be a link on most platforms that you're listening on right now. If the link is not in the description, email me. I'll hook you up. Go visit it. Let's start having a discussion and ask any questions you have. Also, I have an email up and ready that you can send for what I mentioned up above, soccerpodcastforparents@gmail.com. Email me if you have any questions, comments, concerns, gripes. You want to tell me I suck? You want to tell me I'm the greatest? I'd rather get greatest emails than suck emails, but suck emails help more than greatest emails. Also, don't forget to leave a rating and comment on whichever platform you're listening on. It helps a good bit. Show notes will be up at the webpage. Once again, soccerperspectiveparents.com. Go check it out if you want some show notes. Thanks for listening, and as always, remember that the kids are out there for fun, and let's have a good day.